Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zata Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It is Wednesday, September 4th of 2024. A lot of stuff to dive into on today's show. But I thought of note to begin things. We talk about something that our beloved Houston Texans did. They announced team captains yesterday. You expect C.J. Stroud to be a captain, Laremy Tunsil to be a captain, Will Anderson in his second year as a captain, Jimmy Ward in his second year with the Texans as a captain, Azeez Al-Shaair, your new starting middle linebacker, as a captain. Stephon Diggs, one of the Houston Texans' six captains for 2024, Joe George.
Well, I mean, Stephon Diggs has done a great job rehabilitating his image this offseason, I would say, Paul Gallant. People do not. I think we've overreacted all the Stephon Diggs stuff so much. I really do. Maybe it is the one-year contract, but he seems so beloved by his team, and not just the captain thing. Like that is good that he's a captain. It's not. If he wasn't, I wouldn't be on the opposite side of this conversation being hypercritical that he's not, because it could have easily gone to a guy like Nico Collins, who's been here already as an established wide receiver. But when we saw him during the preseason, and I'm sure you've seen him at training camp, but when good things were happening, the enjoyment that you're seeing with Diggs around his teammates, it just feels like all the concerns are for nothing at this point. It could change.
Of course, at this point. Yes. It's the honeymoon phase.
Yes. I still feel like the honeymoon phase might just last through the season as he leaves the team.
We all hope it does. I think it's noteworthy that he's a captain. And I bring up the captains for the Texans, not because it's a huge story that Diggs is one of them. This is still a very young team, and he's one of the most established players in the league on this team. I mean, really, Laremy Tunsil is the only guy who has more, I guess, length in the tooth, if you will. And even then, you could argue that Diggs, since he's been in the league a little bit longer and has actually been on teams that are above 500 on a regular basis, has a little more length to it. But these are the two most established players in the league, is what I'm trying to say here. The two guys that at some point have been considered the best at their position or close to the best at their position. But there's an interesting article that popped up. It was in GQ because apparently Stephon Diggs is now a fashion icon. He's been to the Met Gala. Have you? No. Stephon Diggs, in this piece, interviewed by Clay Skipper of GQ, said, quote, "Last year, I was in the worst mental space I've been in since I've been in the league. If I'm not in a good space, obviously that's not the best for me. So that's when things had to start shaking out."
Is he blaming Josh Allen? No, I'm just kidding. It's one of those things where I think that's, Paul, where we forget these guys are human. Like, we forget football players are just, they're normal people.
Plus 500 team, they won their last six games of the year.
Yeah. But, like, to be in a not good headspace will make things worse. Now, we saw the antics of, you know, when him and Josh Allen, when they weren't getting along and everything. But it's not surprising to hear something like this, whether it's, you know, a PR spin for yourself or you're just telling the truth that, like, you know, you're not in a good space in 2023. And now you are. And last year was hopefully the worst it's been in his career. And hopefully for Stephon Diggs, not just for the Texans, but for the player himself, because he's an awesome player going forward, whatever the issues were, he can move past and alleviate a lot of those concerns.
If they win, sure. But yeah. A lot of hopefully coming out of your mouth.
There's a lot of hopefully, because there's definitely doubt. There's definitely doubt that what we saw in Minnesota and in Buffalo won't at some point pop up this season.
He's been on a losing team, I think never.
Maybe
a couple one, years. Yeah. 2 years in Minnesota. We're talking about a guy who has regularly been on, maybe not Super Bowl contenders, but a guy that has been playing for teams that are at the very least decent. And look, we all expect the Houston Texans to be good this coming season. But I am still looking at the past with Stephon Diggs. I think it's surprising that he's a captain. They're only judging him based off of what he has done here. But this article continued, and he's asked about how, at the beginning of the year, 800 yards the first 8 games, and says, you tell me about the last 10. What changed? Were there changes going on? I just pay attention to what really happened and not what people try to act like happened. For the last 10 games, I forgot how to bleeping play football. They won all of those games.
That's interesting, because I've been making the argument that it was probably more just Josh Allen. So that spits in the face of that.
How does it spit in the face of that?
That it was just Josh Allen needed to run the ball. They needed to run the ball more, and it helped Josh Allen. He's not forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs. But if he's the one saying he forgot to play how to play football the last 10 games of the season, then, I mean,
he's being sarcastic.
Yeah. You think so?
He's definitely being sarcastic, yeah. I mean, read the article. Like, for the last 10 games, I forgot how to play football?
Gotcha. Okay. I wonder, do you think that when you think about the concerns and you're surprised that he's going to be a captain, do you have any concerns or belief that they were, like, someone tried to tell them this was a bad idea? Like, outside the organization.
What do you mean by that?
Would there be, like, guys who've played with Diggs in the past, whether it's Case Keenum or, like, hey, guys, like, this is not really who he is?
I feel like you can't really ask anybody that, because who is going to give you the brutal honest truth on it?
Yeah.
I mean, Keenum's here. Is Keenum even going to do that? Is he going to say, like, oh, yeah, he was annoying?
No, probably not. I mean, Diggs is, like, the last 10 games of the season, I look at him and I just still think there's a lot of talent there. And I know that last year was frustrating for him, but that's why I'm not surprised he's a captain, to be honest. I just think when a new guy comes in, like you said, it's the honeymoon period. They're not going to see the bad. They're not going to see the negative stuff that's out there. And I've always wondered this, Paul, like, how much the players care about that stuff, or if that's always a media driven, like, narrative about players and what the antics that happen, the arguing on the sideline, if players aren't just more accustomed to it and they just don't view it as negatively as we view it.
I mean, maybe. I feel like, though, they won games and he was unhappy. To me, that does not scream captain.
It doesn't. But the players, they, for now,
everyone's pumped. He's done everything right in training camp. He said all the right things. I get that. This article is consistent with that. And he's, I think, pissed that people are doubting him going into this year. And I don't doubt him as an actual football player. But I wonder. The guy has high demands, high standards. And in the past, he has been annoyed by things that, honestly, aren't all that bad. There are plenty of wide receivers, Andre Johnson, who have had it worse. There are plenty of wide receivers across the league who have dealt with just crap quarterbacks, crap ownership. He has been in 2 competent organizations at this point in his career. And he pouted at the second half of last year when the Bills won all of their games down the stretch.
And statistically, you would say, to what you're saying, he never, ever lacked the stats. Not the touchdowns, not the yards, not the targets. The targets, he was always 100-plus targets every single year. So to your point, it's like, what are you really complaining about?
I mean, yeah, because I'm talking about the second half of the year, because his stats weren't good the second half of the year. And I think he's annoyed that his stats weren't good the second half of the year, and he felt like he wasn't included in the offense. Guess what? They won. Doesn't matter. And that's the thing that this year is going to be really interesting with this team. The stats do not matter. All of these wide receivers better shut up. I don't want to hear a lick. I don't want to hear a complaint. I don't want to hear a peep all year long about targets. Do not sulk. Do not pout. And maybe there won't be, because all these guys respect each other or something like that. But I'm surprised that Diggs is the captain. And the question I have is, do you trust him? And that's for you, the listeners, at 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can join on YouTube too at ESPN Houston.
I feel like it's the ultimate cop out, but isn't it just if they're winning, I trust them? To what you're saying, like as long as things are going well, I trust them. Like
brutal
I wonder,
schedule.
Yeah, like you look at that 11-day stretch where you play the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. Like that's one I think you kind of circle in your mind if that doesn't go well and he's not getting the ball in those games of just like, hey, this could be when something would come up. But yeah, it's to what you're saying, Paul, like as long as they're winning, I trust them. It's when they don't win is what is the reaction.
They're not going to win as much as everybody wants this year. Yeah. They're just not. I mean, there's a lot of expectations that are put on them right now, but if you're thinking this team's going to go 14-3, I'd be stunned by that. And there will be moments where the potential for Antonio Brown losing his mind on the sideline when in a game where he still had 11 targets, he was annoyed that other teammates were getting a ton of yards and a ton of receptions. We're talking about a crazy person in Antonio Brown, but all these wide receivers, there's that level, there's a part of their brain that I feel like only exists in wide receivers. And I'm just saying, this is a potential thing that could rear its ugly head in the middle of the year, and this is a captain now.
But if he does go full Antonio Brown, they could just send him home.
True.
And now Tank Dell and Nico Collins are your two wide receivers.
True.
I that's where I come down on this. Is like this is a problem for 17 games at most. Why I can't get worked up about any of the Diggs stuff, is that he's not the guy that they signed to extension. That was Joe Mixon. They actually lopped years off his contract. The first thing they did when they traded for him, Nick Casario was like, by the way, one-year deal. We're going to let you test free agency this offseason. I think that to me is just, Stephon Diggs is going to be a Texan for 1 year. I think that is, whether things go super well or super poorly, I think that's true no matter what.
How much do you trust Stephon Diggs?
I don't right now. I don't. I don't feel like we should. I think that his first year and his second year, his first stop, Minnesota, his second stop, Buffalo. I think the fact that he's a captain is pretty surprising, just given the track record. And the Texans could say this: we're different here. And maybe they are. I hope they are. I think DeMeco Ryans is definitely easier to play for than Sean. Hey, remember that time Al-Qaeda did that thing? McDermott and Mike Zimmer, who is honestly, for lack of a better term, dick. It's definitely different playing for a head coach like DeMeco Ryans. No doubt about it. And the vibes are great. Everything's great. But they gave this guy Captain C, and I do think that is an actually important thing in football. And it's just surprising. We'll see how it plays out. This article with GQ is pretty interesting. There's some other nuggets to dive through that are more fun in nature. But I'm just curious if you guys trust Stephon Diggs, because clearly the Texans do. And I think it's pretty early to trust.
It was definitely the one that when I saw the list, I was most surprised by. It was really the only.
Yeah.
You could say Jimmy Ward just because he didn't play a lot last year, but he was named a captain last year, right?
He's a DeMeco guy.
Yeah, he's a DeMeco guy. So like that makes sense. But it was the only one that I was surprised by. Because like if I was going to guess, I would have guessed Nico of the other offensive players besides C.J. Stroud and Laremy Tunsil. Like that would have been just my guess before the season. So yeah, I'm surprised that he's a captain. It's good that right now his teammates feel this way about him.
And look, they should. Again, he's done everything right thus far. That's all you can really gauge if you're a player. But if you're in the front office or if you're a head coach, like, there's a track record. And people generally do not change, generally, unless there's some sort of traumatic thing that happens. Anyway. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. On the HRNP listener line, you can join us on Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Do you trust Stephon Diggs? And just when you thought we were done with bets that have to do with eating poo, another man has stepped up and volunteered when nobody asked him to. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie. .ag. Did you know that there is a plus membership now for MyBookie? Hell yeah. MyBookie Plus. But also, you got your OG stuff. You enter that promo code BET975 when you sign up for the website, and you're going to get an awesome deposit bonus up to $1,000. Yeah, right away. You can bet on the first week of NFL action, put together some sort of a parlay, if you will. You can bet on college football. You can do Super Bowl futures. You can do World Series futures. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. There's a live casino to play blackjack with a live dealer, to play poker with a live dealer, And you can really bet on everything. I mean, you can bet on the presidential election for 2024. MyBookie.ag. The promo code is bet975. MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I ask the people if you trust Stephon Diggs. Some do. One person says that he trusts Stephon Diggs to catch passes and make the Texans' offense incredibly hard to defend. Sure. Another from the 832, Diggs is definitely the best and most proven wide receiver on this team. That's also true. But from the 346, he dropped a long pass at the end of the playoff game for the Bills. Did he lose them the game? I don't know if it's quite that far, but he has been voted a captain by his teammates. It is surprising. I get that coaches, the front office can't necessarily step in and veto this, but I don't know. If I'm one of those players, at the very least, even if I love everything I'm seeing from Stephon Diggs, it's in the back of my mind. Like, this has happened before.
Yeah, the idea of that just made me chuckle there, Paul. Like, the idea of the coaches being like, hold up, guys. Like, we're not doing this. Like, Stephon Diggs is not a captain. Like you had to just change the rules. Must have been on the Texans for more than 1 year to be a captain. The only way to do that.
He did an interview as part of a series of interviews in the Minnesota Vikings locker room. They were all asked, who was the player you would least like to date your sister? And the answers did not go very well for a younger version of Stephon Diggs with those Minnesota Vikings.
Davin, what guy on the team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell? Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Least like to date my sister, Diggs. 100%.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister? And I might add, you're starting to be the runaway favorite for this.
Would nobody want me to date his sister? I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
There's actually seems to be a few guys that don't think that.
You feel differently about me?
Yeah.
They just don't know me well enough. That's what it is. Just a beard. All right, who don't I want to date my sister? Weatherly.
Why Weatherly?
Because he's ugly.
I knew that was coming. That was the problem.
Poor guy at the end. Drive by.
Yeah, that's got to be tough to be told, like, in person. Like, hey, you're the one that no one or that everyone is saying doesn't want to date their sister. But with Diggs, that clip is so funny. Every time we hear it, it just makes me laugh because I wonder, like, what the reason. Yes, that part's the best part. Like, what's the reason? Like, was he just, you know, is he a playboy?
Well, reading this.
Out and about with the ladies, Paul?
Reading this GQ article, which is the main reason I bring up the captaincy of the Houston Texans on this Wednesday. I mean, this part of GQ, the guy's a ladies' man. It's very clear. Based off of those answers and based off of this. Early on in his life, writes, what's this guy's name? Clay Skipper of GQ. Diggs learned an important lesson, said Diggs. Quote, my mom told me that a girl always pays attention to your shoes and your smile.
Okay.
4-year-old Stephon found himself perpetually stomping around in cowboy boots, refusing to take off his favorite pair, even during sweltering Maryland summers. It was a sign that Diggs recognized the importance of self-expression and that he might choose to express himself just a bit differently. Quote, I got my own swag. I don't try to be like anybody else.
Cowboy boots in the summer. Sweltering Maryland heat? You're from that area.
Maryland is in that like mid-Atlantic area. Uh-huh. It gets pretty muggy there.
Okay, okay.
That if you've ever been to D.C. in the summer, I went there last summer. It is hot.
Okay.
Surprisingly humid, too.
Because when I think of sweltering, I think of Houston.
Oh, well, yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, Houston is the most sweltering. But D.C. is actually pretty sweltering because, like Houston, it was built on a swamp.
Now, before we continue, I have to ask, does hearing Stephon Diggs say that, Paul, does that make you rethink your shoe game? As you
it actually does.
Okay.
It actually does. I need to upgrade my shoe game.
Okay.
Like, I have a nice pair of cowboy boots. I have a nice pair of dress shoes that I wore to my cat photo shoot yesterday.
Yes.
And that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So we gotta upgrade the shoe department.
I mean, we gotta upgrade the salary first before we start upgrading the shoe department.
Yeah.
The three S's.
Yeah.
From Stephon Diggs. Shoes, smile, salary, which for Stephon Diggs goes unspoken. Because you can look up his salary.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So, yeah, the three S's.
Okay. And it's a contract year for Stephon Diggs. So, I mean, he doesn't want it to remain spoken like that for long. A couple of other comments. 15 minutes of a man quietly trying to change his image by two guys who have never had character issues in their life, I guess. I sense sarcasm there. This person believes that JG is a Diggs rider.
Is that me or is that Granato?
I do not know.
Good I'd question. Assume it's you.
Okay.
If the text came in the last 20 minutes.
See if I could deflect for a second, you know, put the pass that to
Granato. There is always a little bit of like, which JG? Which JG?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a Diggs writer. If he is a problem, cut his ass. Like, I don't care about Stephon Diggs.
And I don't think he'll necessarily be a problem.
Yeah.
I just think that it's been proven that when he doesn't have things going exactly the way he wants to, he at the very least pouts, and I don't know. I don't really want that in my captain. I don't want a player on the field playing for my team that's in a leadership role to ever be the kind of player who pouts out there. I just don't. It's something that carries over to other players. As someone who has been the guy who gets down in games where things aren't going well, you would not want me leading the show. I need somebody there that's going to raise my morale, mm-hmm. if you will. And if this is your captain, I'm just saying, it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think the biggest hope with Diggs is that he knows that going into this year that it's not going to be – he's not going to be the guy all the time. Mm-hmm. That just by just looking at his teammates, looking to his left and his right in the wide receiver room, like he's not going to get the ball all the time. I hope he knows that.
I looked something up just to see. I didn't have time to look up how many times Stephon Diggs has been a team captain in his career. But I was like, oh, well, I can probably find last year's Buffalo Bills team captains. They had 8. Hand up, way too many
That's
team
a lot
captains.
Of captains. That's,
so 6, arguably too many.
6 is too many. 4.
But one of which, I mean, it's half the roster, but one of which, Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Team captain for your 2023 Buffalo Bills.
Hmm. And then when they stopped using Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
In that offense, they won all their games. Interesting.
Allen, Diggs, Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse, Jordan mm-hmm. Poyer, mm-hmm. Micah Hyde, Von Miller. I forgot he was on the Bills.
Yeah, I forgot that.
And Tyler Matakevich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just glad John Weeks is a captain and that they're showing respect to the most tenured Texan. That's what really matters.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that's like a free space?
Free space.
They're just like, well, John Weeks.
100%.
Obviously. Yeah, you got to have someone from special teams represent the captains. Like,
do you think Steven Sims was like, damn it?
It's going to be
me.
Somebody.
Yeah, Kymir Weeks has to be one of those.
I guarantee you at least one player was miffed that they are not a captain.
Really? That's crazy.
They all got egos. All football players have egos.
Townsend is like,
I was annoyed in high school and I wasn't made a captain and I shouldn't have been made a captain, even though I was sort of made a captain unofficially midway through the year. I should not have been one, though. I shouldn't have been one. It was terrible. I was terrible as for everybody else. I was good for myself. See, and that's Stephon Diggs, Paul Gallant, the same guy, both ladies' Ooh. Men. Yeah.
Paul, not a leader.
No, not really. No.
If we had to make team captain, no, I guess it's the two morning show guys. Never mind. I was going to say make team captains for 97.5.
I mean, I think Lance has to be the first guy. He came in after having minor heart surgery the next day. Like that's a team guy right there.
He's like Ricky Pearsall.
I'm concerned about the work he's putting in off the field.
It's true. He wasn't here Labor Day. We were
a lot of draft focus. You know,
too many other interests, like mm-hmm. Josh Rosen.
Exactly.
John's like, focused on LA.
Like yeah. too many other things. Yeah. Whoa, actually, maybe the morning show guys aren't team captains.
Yeah.
John Granato, he was here yesterday and today. But
when's he going back to LA?
Yeah.
They get us paid. But
yes,
captains.
I don't know.
It's definitely not the afternoon show that showed up late one time so they could golf. How many days can I bring that up this week?
So, Joe George, you're the team captain.
Joe George is the team captain.
Joe, great. And the funny thing is, Dell definitely doesn't want to be team captain.
Nope. I vote Dell.
I think they're both
middle management Joe.
Dell's been through it all.
Captain.
He's been hired and fired and hired and fired and brought back a third time. Like, I think it's a third time. He's worked on every iteration of this station. Dell team captain.
Yeah. Cat photo shoot, not very good. The cat.
Oh, no.
The poor people trying to get my cat to pay attention. My cat did not, like, snarl or growl or anything like that. She just refused to look at the camera until the very end. I mean, the poor lady who was taking the photos, she's, like, basically, like, just, like, moving her arms around, throwing things up in the air. My cat did not cooperate.
I imagine there's a lot of jingling of bells and stuff.
Oh, yeah, eventually. Yeah, she Stephon Diggs did with the Buffalo Bills. A little Stephon Diggs action.
Did you get at least one photo that you think that's going to make?
We'll
them
see.
Out?
I didn't see any of them yet. Okay. I didn't see any of them yet. But yeah, Houston Pet Talk Magazine. It's check it out. I think next month's edition. Before we hit the break, I did want to play this, guys. People putting it on the line is not dead because 3-2-1. What's his face? The Florida State fan.
Oh yeah.
He of course said that he would eat dog poop out of a Dixie cup with a spoon if Florida State lost to Boston College. They did. He deleted the post. But a rando comedian, and kind of on brand for comedian, trying to get attention. No offense to comedians out there. I get it. The game is the game. But Cowboys fan and stand-up comic Jordan Garrett made a bold declaration about his beloved Dallas Cowboys because he feels that this Seminole fan didn't show honor.
All right, I'm going to make this super quick and to the point. I just got word that there was some FSU fan that said that if FSU did not win, he would eat dog poop. And he backed out on his word. He backed out on his vow. And he deleted all his social media accounts. I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm Jordan Garnett. I'm a stand-up comedian. A couple of years back, I got a Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl tattoo. Claiming that we would win Super Bowl 51, and then I went back-to-back and did 52. It went viral. Obviously, didn't happen. But I'm a man of my word. I got the tattoo. I kept it. I haven't changed it. But I'm going to top you, Mr. FSU. If the Cowboys do not win the Super Bowl this year, I will not only eat dog poop. I will actually eat human feces. I will eat human. That's how confident I am that the Cowboys are going all the way this year. Bet on it. I don't welch.
He's not just going to eat dog poop. He's going to eat human poop.
Why is this not becoming a thing?
Why didn't you turn on your mic? See, you can't handle the captaincy already. We just gave you the captaincy of ESPN 97.5. You're just forgetting.
I didn't want it.
Getting the microphone already.
Middle management not is typically a captain. So
honestly, that's technically on a football team. They are. Repeat the beginning of what you just said.
Why is this becoming a thing? Why are we doing this?
Well,
why? Listen, what's the wager? How do I get Paul to eat poop on the
air? I'm not doing that.
That's my question.
I'm not
like how do we get there?
Pay me, Rick. That's what I'll have on the bottom of my shoes.
If we can make it cat poop.
No,
I don't think that. That's what I was thinking with this guy. I think human poop makes it better. I don't think human poop is harder to eat than dog poop.
I mean, we saw, if you've seen The Martian.
That's true.
Matt Damon.
Well, I mean, he ate the potatoes.
He grew his potatoes in it, and at one point
But they're the fertilizer.
I know, but the whole room smelled like it, so I don't know how the potatoes didn't taste like it.
Circle of life. It's a circle of life, but this man, classic stand-up comedian. I'm just saying that, okay? Book his shows, please, so that he doesn't feel the need to do this again. This is the guy who got a tattoo of Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl victory, and he has not gotten rid of that either. Galana George, he's Joe. I am Paul. Oh, boy, it is football time in Houston. DJ Bienname is going to join us next. Stick around.
You're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienname. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
There he is. Hood on. In studio. DJ Bienname. ESPN. Have you ever done that? tagged out on ESPN with a ESPN.
Oh, yeah. I've done that, I think, like once or maybe twice.
Oh, nice. You added a little flair to it. I like it. Yeah.
No, but like, they require us to do it.
I know you have to say ESPN, but yeah. I was wondering if you've ever done it ESPN.
Oh, like that? Oh, no. I'm not a cornball.
Why not?
You're not a cornball. Easy. That got cornball. Robert Griffin III fired from ESPN. Allegedly.
No, that was Rob Parker.
Oh, he called different RG3.
Rob. Different Rob.
Gotcha. Yes. Gotcha.
To RG3.
He blocked me on Twitter, Rob Parker.
I love Rob. I love Rob.
He should unblock me on Twitter. I want to
nice
see.
Guy. He's not. You probably you're probably trolling him.
Well, I miss his terrible takes. It's some of the worst things I've ever seen.
He has some entertaining takes. I'll say that.
What a spin.
They're very entertaining. Yes, they're very entertaining. Yes.
So we're actually in for some real entertaining football. Man, Sunday,
finally,
in Indianapolis.
Woo.
It's the Texans. It's the Colts. I feel like we got to start off with this.
Yeah.
Going into this offseason, you were very bullish on the Indianapolis Colts. You picked them to win the AFC South. But, again, predictions can be changed
until
tomorrow at about 7 p.m. You still sticking with the Colts, or have things changed this training camp?
Nah, I flipped it. Mainly because just seeing what I saw during training camp from the Texans offense, then reading the reports regarding Anthony Richardson during their camp, it wasn't – like, I read a lot of solid. Solid isn't going to be enough. You know what I mean? Like, Gardner Minshew was solid last year. Or some people might think he was below average, but whatever. Like, solid isn't going to be enough this season, I think, for them to win a division. Like, they're going to need Anthony Richardson to kind of be good. Like, to be, like, good for them to win a division. So, the report, I mean, like, the joint practice with the Bengals, when they were saying, does this, you know, one DB said, is all this guy does is run? You know what I'm saying? So, like, he was struggling to throw the football. I saw another stat today that was kind of, like, made me really, like, step back. He only has 17 starts since high school. Like, that's just not a lot of reps. And that's what kind of, like, doomed Trey Lance. That's what kind of doomed Davis Mills, right? Well, if you don't have a lot of starts in your career post-high school, it's just hard to then play at a high enough level to win meaningful games in the NFL.
So what from the Texans side, though? Did the Texans side of it change? Just seeing them in camp? Was it the defense, the offense that also made you more confident they'll win the division, or is just what you were more hearing about the Colts?
Yeah, I'd say a combination of both. Again, like, you know, from the early August practice from Cleveland all the way through the rest of training camp, the offense was starting to click. They were starting to make more plays. They were starting to flash what would make you think, okay, this could be a legitimate playoff team, a division, you know, win a division, things of that nature. I think that, you know, I still have some skepticism overall regarding the depth on this roster, but obviously if they're healthy, they'll be fine. But I'm still worried about the schedule. The schedule is still going to be tough. It's going to be tough as nails. So I think, you know, like they would probably have to go 4-2 in the division to where, like, the division will be kind of like cakewalk-ish.
I figure that you are, at the very least, about to make season predictions for ESPN. And while we're talking about this record, this schedule... Again, it's Wednesday. You got until tomorrow, I'm assuming, to make it. I think those are the rules. As long as you get it in by Chiefs-Ravens tomorrow night, it's fine. Where do you see them finishing? Both from a win-loss perspective and the actual ceiling for this team this year.
So I think ceiling-wise, I think they can get to the AFC Championship game. I think I'd be too much of a hater if I said that their ceiling is an AFC Championship game. I do think that... I would predict they probably get to the divisional round and lose again either to Kansas City or Baltimore. I do think, you know, since they won the division, I have a home game. Whoever one of the wild card teams are going to be, they'll have a decided advantage against them. Like, I think if it's like Miami, like they'll at that point, I think, you know, Miami's offensive line is probably going to be a problem by that point. They'll be able to get after Tua. I think if they go against the Jets, their O line is super old, so I think they'll be, you know, kind of, you know, decapitated to an extent. And and like D'Amico, the last time Aaron played in a playoff game, D'Amico completely erased him. And I think one of the issues why it was easy to erase, slow down Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs was because he only could trust one receiver, which is Devontae. And I think the Jets only have one legitimate receiver that you can consistently trust. So I think that'd be an advantage. And then, you know, everybody else in.
So they're firmly in a tier with Baltimore and Kansas City, even if they're not as good as those two teams.
Yeah, they're above
a bunch of the other good AFC teams that are at the very least competent operations.
Yeah, I mean, I still kind of put them in that same bubble, though. I still put them in that same bubble, but it's like, because I think Kansas City and Baltimore are in like tiers by themselves. So they're just like.
They're on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Until that, they have to go and show it, right? Like, both Ravens games last year were not competitive offensively, to say the least. And the Chiefs, until you beat the Chiefs, you know what I'm saying? You got to. I can't just say you're going to beat them. You got to actually do it, you know? Like, they're a dynasty right now. So until you do it, I can't say, oh, yeah, no, they'll beat the Chiefs.
What about individual accolades for predictions this season? You know, last year, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. DeMeco finished, what, second in coach of the year. When you fill out your predictions, are you going to be putting MVP, a coach of the year, a defensive player of the year?
Nah, I got Mahomes winning MVP. I think with the weapons that he has now, he's going to bounce back and probably go kind of stupid. But I think CJ probably could finish second or third.
Okay.
I think his stats are going to be pretty good. And I think the Texans should win like 10, 11 games. And that should be enough to get you some good votes. On the defensive side, I don't really see anybody win defensive player of the year. The only guy I would say has a legitimate shot probably is probably Stingley. I think he's going to have like a great year and take the ball away a lot, so that'll give him a shot. On the offensive side, there's too many mouths to feed, so I doubt that they can have a guy go for an offensive player of the year. Because, again, like, you know, Tank, Diggs, Nico, they are going to be able to eat. So it's going to be hard for one guy to have, like, a receiver or a running back. You basically got to get close to 2,000 yards of scrimmage or above that. And I just don't envision either one of those three guys doing that.
So those are our season predictions. I do want to focus on Sunday in Indianapolis. It was a very interesting series last year. Second game of the year, Anthony Richardson has two awesome drives, and then he gets hurt. And the Colts still hold off the Texans with Gardner Minshew under center. At the end of that game, C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense seemed to figure themselves out, and it carried forward the rest of the year.
Yep.
The last game of the year, it was a close one. You had a Texans offense that was really hamstrung. It was legitimately just Nico Collins and Stroud throwing it to him first play of the game and as much as he could all game long, versus a Colts team that did, I think, all they could to hang in there in spite of their quarterback, Gardner Minshew. And they go a fourth and one short of potentially beating the Texans and eliminating them from the playoffs. This year, there are some changes for both teams. Obviously, for the Houston Texans, a lot more in terms of notable changes. But Shane Steichen definitely seemed to have DeMeco Ryan's number to a degree last year. Did you get that vibe? You're making a face. I'm not getting the feeling you did.
What are we basing that off of?
I felt like in that first game
that
Shane Steichen's offense was something that the Texans defense wasn't ready for. With both of those quarterbacks. And I felt like the last time around, I feel like if Gardner Minshew can make, I don't know, like some of those throws that he was missing horribly on, like I think the Colts might have won that by 7+.
So I think, what?
Okay. I mean, a touchdown plus?
So I think that first game, preparing for one quarterback and then having a complete changeup, that can throw a defense off.
For sure.
You know, they didn't have a chance to game plan against Gardner. And you know, when Gardner gets out there, it's basically a new series of plays that he can now run. It's like another fresh opening script for a new quarterback after you've been game playing for this particular quarterback. Because Anthony and Gardner are so different. So I think that had more to do with that, because in the second half, they were better compared to the first half, which is why like it gave CJ and company a chance to make it a game, where with one drive out, they were just able to get points. It could have been a one-possession game, things of that nature. The second game, though, I mean – they got like 17 points total, so it's not like he was going crazy offensively. I mean, again, Gardner
Taylor probably, did at least.
Yeah, Taylor was going crazy, you know. So I mean, I wouldn't say he has his number. I do think it's gonna be a really good chess match, and it's gonna come down, in my opinion, this one is gonna come down to who's more effective on third downs. I think they're both gonna have like explosive. It's week one, like those happen, but who can execute better on third down specifically? Can DeMeco come up with a blitz scheme or some sim pressures that can throw off Anthony Richardson, make him hold the ball a little bit longer, and then go into backyard football mode? Because if he's in backyard football mode majority of the game, the Texans should comfortably win that. But if Shane can keep Anthony Richardson, I guess, not on schedule, but give him easy throws on third downs, and they're able to stay on the field, now you're chewing up the clock and you're keeping that potent offense on the sideline. So that's kind of where I'm at there.
In terms of the game, health-wise, we saw, what, Will Anderson come back?
Yeah, Will was practicing
today.
Yep.
So health-wise going to this game for the Texans, because that's obviously very important, is there anything of note or concern that we need to be looking at, or is it full go for this team? Because it seems like it's full go.
Yeah, it's full go. I mean, you're missing the guys that are on IR, but outside of that, it's full go, right? Like, the guys that are going to determine whether you win this game or not are playing, right? And I think that's the most important thing. Like, I know no Christian Harris, no Kirk Heinisch, but those guys aren't determining whether you win or lose these games, you know? So, as long as you got your big three, the tackles, your ends, and Stingley, these are the guys that are going to determine whether you win games or not.
I am a little concerned about no Christian Harris for this one, mainly just because of how good Jonathan Taylor was. And this is not me saying, like, hey, Christian Harris is the single determinant of whether or not the Texans' run defense will be better this year, especially with the way that he finished the year. Harris had a really great last couple of games. But this is a team that, as we've discussed before, is maybe lacking defensive line depth with Nico Autry suspended, that did struggle to stop the run last year and is down one of its main linebackers from last year. I'm excited about Aziz Al-Shaair and everything he's going to potentially bring to the table. But Jonathan Taylor has been one of those thorns in this team's side
right
over the years. And I'm wondering about that matchup specifically. If there was a way that the Colts win, it's Jonathan Taylor, I think, having a big day.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to start with the D-line, though. The D-line is going to have to, because again, if it was a different scheme where the DN's catch and read, did he tackle, catch, and read? Did not be different, but this
now they re, now they just go.
Yeah, they just
been,
you know, they've
been
just
all
go.
Love it. They've been talking
right,
it up
right.
all offseason.
They just go. So it's really going to be, can they get knocked back and you know, prevent Taylor from having lanes to run through? And if they can do that, then you'll be able to limit Taylor. If you can't do that, then good luck.
What would be like? What do you think their strategy will be versus Richardson this time? Since we saw only the two possessions and he was incredible, but like, do you think we're going to see a spy? Because like we've seen D'Amico in the past. Like I think to what Paul was saying earlier, if you look at the Steichen versus D'Amico when it was Philly versus San Francisco, Philly won that playoff game 31-7, and Jalen Hurts had a great day. Like, do you like, what do you view the Anthony Richardson key to slowing him down besides just backyard football? Like, do you put a spy out there? Are you focusing on just hoping to sack him as much as possible? What are you thinking?
I think you just hit him with a lot of disguise, and you just get him to think instead of react and play, you know, free-flowing. So if you're showing three, you know, you're showing cover three, show, you know, showing cover three, but you're going to be in cover two, or let's say you're going to be in a look where you have everybody on the line of scrimmage and you drop half, you know, some people out of it. I think you just got to continue to show a lot of disguises at him, because then, like, the one that when the disguise is, it can mess up with the protection. So you could get, you know, free rushers or offensive tackles having to be kind of out of position when it comes to blocking Will or Daniil. Then, you know, if you're changing the picture on Anthony Richardson, if let's say he's looking right, he thinks this particular spot is going to be open. Let's say it's going to like maybe something in the flat, or maybe it's something like in a hole shot between Derek Stingley and the safety, because he's seeing two, but then like Derek drops back and now he's patting the ball, and what he thought he was going to be is not what it actually is. Then yeah, you'll have a lot of success against him. Because thing about him, like he won't necessarily like run to scramble immediately. He's gonna stand in that pocket. But if you can just get him, you know, when you start to throw disguises at him, that's only gonna give your D line more time to get to him. And then because the longer a quarterback usually holds the ball, the more likely mistakes and trouble can happen. So I think that for the pass game, because of the run game, I think they just gotta keep it outside contained. Because most of his runs, well, I mean, obviously, I think he had one that was in between the tackles, but the bigger run, one he got hurt on, it was outside the tackle. And I think a guy like Anthony Richardson is most dangerous when he can get outside on the perimeter versus running up in between the tackles.
ESPN Houston Texans beat reporter DJ Bien-Aimé with us in studio. Gallant and George, Joe George, Paul Gallant. I want something spicy. I want you to give me something spicy right now, okay? And we talked a little bit about what the Texans can do. But what's your spiciest Houston Texans take going into the year?
Spiciest?
Oh, yeah. Give me a little zest, you know?
All right. My spiciest one.
Give you a drum roll.
I think that I got two. I got Derek Stingley getting 10 interceptions.
10 interceptions! Let's go!
And I think by the end of the year,
So matter of fact about it, too. 10 interceptions?
And I think at the end of the year, Tank Dell's wide receiver number one.
Ooh, I like these, DJ.
There we go.
So Patrick Surtain got $96 million today.
Yeah, 24.
So you're saying that Derek Stingley Jr. next offseason, he throws 10 interceptions out there, he gets more than $100 million from the Texans already?
Yeah, I can see that.
Because that's basically what you're saying,
yeah,
DJ.
I can see that. I mean, you know, trying to, you know, they're probably going to aim to try to get over 25. So, because, you know, when it comes to resetting the market, they're going to just get, you know, Sauce camp, probably Stingley's camp. This is just me, educated guess. They're going to probably try to push it beyond 24 per. So, yeah, I could see Stingley getting 100. I think Sauce is for sure going to get 100. So, you know, if Sauce gets 100 or a little bit over 100, then Stingley. It's really between those two. Like, which team races to get the deal done first? Because the longer you wait, the more the price goes up.
You've been on the Derek Stingley hype train since before last year.
Yeah, since 2022.
Yeah. I mean, so I like this being the natural trajectory for him. He has incredible ball skills, so the idea of him getting a lot isn't that far-fetched. I do wonder if they will throw his way as much this coming season, because isn't that something that Sauce Gardner has sort of had?
Sauce can't catch.
Oh.
I mean, like, that's not really, like, it. So, I mean, I think if Stingley is following number one wide receivers, but I think at times he will, like, teams, they don't go into game plan saying we're going to avoid this cornerback completely. So, if Stingley's following number ones, then he's going to, because I think there'll be times where he will follow number ones, right?
We saw that was the thing last year where it seemed like they wouldn't do it, let him do it, and then all of a sudden he did it.
Yeah,
you're like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you're following number one wide receiver, they're going to throw to the number one wide receiver. I don't necessarily buy the notion that, like, because they don't throw your way, you can't get interceptions. People didn't throw Revis's way that often or Richard Sherman's way that often. They still had years where they led the league in interceptions. So I don't necessarily ever, like, subscribe to, like, the whole notion that, like, oh, since they don't throw my way, I can't catch interceptions. Like, there's still ways to, like, bait guys. It's a skill, like, to bait guys into throwing into certain windows so that you can go and make a play.
And if the pass rush is what we think it can be with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you would think that there's going to be quarterbacks that from time to time are just throwing it up there because they're hurried and maybe don't make the best decision.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that a lot. So, I mean, like, I think it's set up for him to have that type of year where he can get, like, 8 to 10 interceptions.
So. I want to hear 10. Let's see 10. That. I want him to also play for 10 games, too.
He'll be healthy this year.
He's had bad luck to this
point. I think 17 games.
I think he'll be healthy this year.
Why Tank Dell number one?
I think that the chemistry between him and CJ is going to override everything.
Like, especially in the red zone.
Yeah, like, they love each other so much. You know, and I'm not saying, like, CJ don't love Diggs and don't love Nico. Like, he does, right? Those are his brothers, too. But it's just different with Tank. And Tank can play. Like, Tank can play at a high level. So I think it's just that natural gravitation towards Tank at the end of the day.
I saw something. This was posted by at Texans Cap. Is a good follow on Texans Twitter.
Yeah.
It's the new average separation score metric from Fantasy Points Data. Yes, ASS. But Tank Dell's ASS, or Tank Dell's ass, is one of the best in the NFL in terms of separation score by coverage. And this graph shows that he is not only towards the top of the league in terms of being able to get separation against man coverage, but clear and away the best at getting separation in zone coverage.
Yeah. I mean, that, but that's his game. He's always been like a separator. So the fact that he can do that and he's not going to get, at least to start out, he's not going to get the attention that, he's going to get some attention, but DCs are going to focus more on Stephon and Nico. So he's going to be able to get a lot more one-on-one opportunities. So, you know, this week I could see CJ throwing for 400 yards, honestly, 400,
woo!
You know, like all three of them eating. Because they don't have anybody in secondary that can stop these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nico went, I mean.
They should have made the Snead trade. I felt the Colts.
But, you know, Chris Ballard is a fraud, you know. Like, he's a
There we go.
So, like, he's not going to make the big move and the big, you know, acquisition to get who he needs to get to put this team over the top. Like, it's going to be like, he's going to give the perception like he's trying.
They're always the next team. They were the next team with Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
They're the next team with Snead. Like, right, they're always right, like the, right. Like, we were just there.
We were just there. They never get it done, right? Unless it's for a decrepit Matt Ryan or a, you know.
Philip Rivers.
Or, yeah, or, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, Carson Wentz, who, you know, Philly couldn't wait to get out of that contract and get him out of Philly after just extending him.
You know, but he just signed with the Chiefs.
He did.
Patrick Mahomes could learn a thing or two.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could learn how to not throw your career into the toilet.
That is DJ Bien-Aimé. Catches work for ESPN. He'll be in Indianapolis for Texans and Colts. DJ, always a pleasure, man.
Yeah. Colts, Texans win week one.
There we go. All right. You called it. First one you heard it from. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.